today's daf is Chulin Daf Samach Aleph. We left off on the bottom of Daf Samach Amid Beis. We are at V'Simane Of Lo Nemru by the Simane Of Lo Nemru by the two dots, the very last few words on the page. The entire daf is only going to have one topic, and that is going to be the Simanim of an Oaf. We don't have really Simanim of an Oaf in the Torah, but Chazal have a tradition that there are four different Simanim of an Oaf, and we're going to try to figure out how many of them does an Oaf need to have in order to be tahar. So the background to the whole discussion is as follows. The Torah itself lists 24 particular birds that are tameim. The Torah tells us ves ele tishaktu min ha'of lo ye'achlu sheketeim, and then it lists 24 different types of birds. So it doesn't tell us exactly how to distinguish between ofos tameim and ofos tahorim, but Chazal give us four different simanim through which we can distinguish between ofos tameim and ofos tahorim. First simon is that an of tahor is eino dores, whereas an of tame is dores. Now that is the only simon that relates to how the bird acts, as opposed to how the bird looks, what the bird's physical characteristics are. The only one that relates to how the bird acts is the fact that it is that an of tame is dores and of tahar is eino dores. Now the question, of course, then becomes: what does the word dores mean? How do I tell? What exactly is a dores? So that itself is a major machlokus rishonim. Rabbeinu Gershom holds that dores means an of that's kolet es ma'achalam. It picks its food out of mid-air. Whereas Rashi understands, and Tosos quotes from Rashi as well, that Dores is that that the oaf grabs its food bitsi parnov. It uses its claws to grab its food and picks it up from the ground and eats it. Rashi and Samach Beis Amid Aleph and the Ramban and the Rashba and the Rambam all hold that if the oaf puts his feet on the ground at the time that he eats, in order that the food shouldn't move, that's considered so that he shouldn't take it all at one time in his mouth to hold the food in place as he pecks away at it, that's considered to be a dores. And Shitas Rabbeinu Tam and the Itur is that if the oaf eats the bird, eats its prey while the prey is still alive, that's considered a dores, that it's eating it while it's alive. Rabbeinu Tam just adds, you know, if it's shkatzim or amasim, it's little things, little bugs like that, so of course it's going to eat it while it's alive. That wouldn't be considered a dores. But if it eats larger prey while it's alive, that's considered a dores. And then you have the Shita Saramban and the Shita of the Ran. The dores is an oaf that traps a bal chai in order to eat it and hits and kills it with a makas drisa. So you have all of these different definitions of dores, but dores is the one simon that relates to how the oaf acts. Then there are three additional simonim of an oaf. You have the idea that it has an etzpa yasera. An oaf that has an etzpa yasera is considered to be a kasher, a simon of kashrus. The Rishonim discuss where exactly that etzpa yasera is supposed to be. Rashi on Nuntesa Medalev said that the etzpa is higher than the other etzbaos on its leg. The Ran just asks on that an eagle also has an etzpa that seems to be in that place, and the eagle is certainly not a kosher bird. That's the prototypical non-kosher bird. It's the one that has none of the simanei tara, all of the simanei tuma. The Ran understands that one of the etzbaos is bigger than the other etzbaos on its regel. The Ramban understands, in the name of Yesh Mefarshim, that an etzba comes out from the middle of the height of the regel that you find like by Tarnagolim. So you have all different shittos of what that means, but etzba yisera is another simon. Another simon that you have by an oaf is that it has a zefek, the way it's like a little pouch that's at the end of the veshet that begins to digest the food. And the final simon of the oftar is that korkavanu niklaf, that the korkavan has a layer that could be peeled off. So those three simanim are about the physical characteristics of the oaf rather than how the oaf behaves. So in a certain level, once Chazal have those four simanim, it should be pretty easy to tell what's an oftar, what's an oftame. But it's still not, because the Gemara is going to tell us that there are many ofos tameim that don't have all four simanei tuma. So what do you do with that information? Does that mean that in general any of the simanei tuma are good enough to make an oaf tame? Or no, maybe I should say any of the simanei tahara would be good enough to make an oaf tahar, and the ones on the list that don't have all of the simanei tuma but have some of the Simani Tahara, the reason that they're on the list is because they're a Chiddush. That even though normally any Simani Tahara would be enough to make an oaf into an oaf Tahar, the Torah has to list a bunch of them that have Simani Tahara, but still are not kosher because they don't have all of the Simani Tahara. Now, one thing that's absolutely clear, and that is that if an oaf has all four Simani Tahara, it's kosher. If an oaf has all four Simani Tumah, definitely not kosher. But what's less clear is what happens when you're somewhere in between. So the Mishnah had said, now let's, with that background, Simani Ha'of Lo Nemru, that the Torah never identifies what the Simani Ha'of are. So says Gemara, V'lo? Are you sure the Torah never identifies it? V'atanya, the Brice expounds the Pasuk, where the Pasuk goes through the list of Ofos Tumeim, and it says, the first one in the Pasuk is Nesher, so is the first of the Ofos Tumeim that are listed. So we darshin, Nesher miyuchad she'ein lo etzbi yisera v'zefek v'ein korkavanu niklav v'doris v'yochel. A nesher has all four of these simanim that it does not have an etzbi yisera. It does not have a zefek. Its korkavan is not peelable, and its doris v'yochel tameh, and yet that's not kosher. Saf kol kiyotze bo tameh. So too, any bird that has all four of those characteristics is tameh. It's not a kosher bird, but an oaf that has one of these simanim is tar, aside from the ones that are listed in the Torah. I mean, again, the 24 that are listed in the Torah, those are out. Those are tameh. That's explicit in the Torah. What if I have another bird that's not listed in the Torah, but has some of these simanim, not all of them? So we should learn from the Nesher that only if you have all four of the simanim tumah are you tameh, but if you have any of these simani tahara, you're going to be the oaf is going to be tar. Now Tosas writes that you see from here that the world makes a mistake about how to translate the word nesher. I already did it. I translated it as eagle. Says Tosas, you see, it's clearly not true because an eagle has an etzba yaseira, so it doesn't have all four of the simani tuma. It has one of the simani tahara. So the Ramban says, yeah, but not the bald eagle. That apparently the bald eagle is different than the. I didn't look it up and check online or anything, but so the Ramban says that a bald eagle is likely what a nesher is, because the bald eagle actually has all four simane tuma. Now there is no other oaf in the world that doesn't have that doesn't have any of the simane tara other than a nesher and oafos that are mimin nesher. The Rashi points out the drasha, the Bryce is coming to be marba, that even other oafos that are from the min of a nesher, aside from a nesher itself, are also tameh, meaning if we're trying to be marbe, that anything else aside from an esher that has four simani tuma, that's going to be tameh. So Rashi says there really isn't anything else. All there is are other types of neshers. So other types of neshers that also have all four simani tuma, that's all we're coming to be marbe. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos writes that it could be that there are other minim aside from an esher that don't have any of the simani tara, and the drasha of the Bryce is coming to be marbe that they're also tameh. So that's machlokas Rashi. He tells us whether there exists such a thing outside of the Nesher family that has all four simanim of Tuma. But anyway, so says the Gemara, from the fact that the Torah tells us that Torim are Ofos Tahorim, that Torim Bnei Yona, right? The Torah tells us that a Tor, a pigeon, is an Of Tar, is a kosher bird. So says Gemara, Torim Sheishla and Etzba Yesera, Vizefek, Vekorkova Niklav, Vein Darsin Vaochlin, Tahorim, the Tor has all four Simani Tara, and the Torah tells me explicitly that it's a kosher bird, Saf Kol Kayotze Behen, Torim. So to any bird that has all four Simani Tara are going to be kosher. So you see from this brisa that the simani ofos are min haTorah, because the Torah tells me explicitly that a nesher is not kosher, that a tor is kosher, and the identifying distinctions between a tor and a nesher are these four items. So that's pretty much explicit in the Torah what the four simani tara are. So says Gemara, Amar Abaye, no, lo nemar perushon midivrei Torah ela midivrei sofim. You're right that the Torah tells me a nesher is not kosher, and the Torah tells me that a tor is kosher, but it doesn't get into details beyond that. It was up to the Chachamim to figure out what are the distinguishing characteristics between the two. So yes, we came up with this list of Dores and Netzvi Yisera and Korkov and Nikla. We came up with that list, but that list is not explicit in the Torah. Unlike, for example, by Behem or Chaya, where you have the idea of chewing its cud and the idea of split hooves, that's Beferish in the Torah. By Dagim, where you have Snapper of Kaskes, is Beferish in the Torah. This is not at all Beferish in the Torah. Now, the truth truth is, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah either that Torim are explicitly that Torim are a kosher bird. It doesn't say ve'ela tochelu, and the following birds are kosher, and here's what you eat, and have a list that includes Torim. But Rashi writes it's ki'ilu it does, because it lists in a number of places in the Torah that Tor is kosher for a karban. You're not allowed to bring an of tameh on the mizbeach. You're not allowed to bring a non kosher bird on the mizbeach, and if you bring Torim u'bnei for a karban, so then you know that Torim are obviously a kosher type of bird. Tosa says that it's beyond that. It's not just that it says they allow to bring the Torah as a carbon. There's one extra place where it says tar, where there's no drasha to make from it, other than to tell me that it's mutar b'achila. So Tosa understands that there's actually an extra pasuk in the Torah to teach me dafka that a tar is mutar b'achila. Anyway, so the Gemara brings the din of what Rabbi Chiya is going to say about an oath that doesn't have all four of the simanim. Right. So what did we say so far? That the nesher is the prototypical of tameh. Why? Because it has all four simanei tumah, and the tar is a prototypical of tar because it has all four simanei tahara. So says Mar Tani Rabbi Chiya. Oaf haba b'simin echad. What if an oaf comes with only one simin tahara? It doesn't have the other three. Tahar. Halacha is that it's kosher, and obviously, therefore, if it has two of the simanei tahara or three of the simanei tahara, it would also be kosher. Tosa, Rashi points out over here that you have to be a baki in ofos to know that if an oaf comes with some of the simanei tahara, before you can declare it kosher, you have to know that it's not one of the ones on the list in the Torah that are not kosher. Because again, on that list in the Torah gives us 24 non-kosher birds. Only one of them has all four simanei tumah. The rest of them have some yes, some no. The rest of them have some simanei tahara. But they are exceptions to the rule. The rule is, says Rabbi Chiya, any single simanei tahara, kosher. Unless you're one of the ones on the list. So, says Rashi, you need a little bit of a kiyas to know what that list means, to know how to identify the birds on the list. The Gemara is going to say later on, in tomorrow's daf, what situations you don't need to be able to recognize all the birds on the list, and you can still say confidently, but typically you would have to be able to identify it. So, l'fisha ein doma l'nesher. Why is a bird with any simen tahara kosher? Because it's not like a nesher. Nesher has none of the simen tahara. Nesher d'les le'klal hu d'lo teichel. Ha'ika d'is le'chad teichel. That a nesher doesn't have any of the simen tahara, that's why you're not allowed to eat it. But if you have any bird that comes in front of you that has any of the simanei tahara, as long as it's not on the list of forbidden birds on the Torah, you can assume it's kosher, you're allowed to eat it. So the Gemara asks the question, well, wait a second. We had two prototypes. We had the Nesha that had all four simanei tumah, zero of the simanei tahara, said that's not kosher. We had the Tor, which the Torah said has all four simanei tahara, that is kosher. Why are we using the Nesher to be the limud? Oh, anything that's not like a Nesher is going to be kosher. Anything that doesn't, that has any simen tahara is going to be kosher. Why not use v'leilof mitorin? Why don't we use tor as the basis of the limud and say as follows? Ma torin di'ika kulu arba'a av hachanami adika kulu arba'a. Why don't we say that just like a tor has all four simanei tahara and that's why it's kosher, so too only birds that have all four simanei tahara are kosher. Why don't we say it like that? So says the Gemara, because im kain, if that were true, that you need all four simanei tahara to be kosher, shar ofos tmein dekas rachman alamali. Why does the Torah have to identify the other 23 non-kosher birds other than nesher? Meaning, I could just, if I'm learning it from Torim anyway, that a tor is that it has all four simanei tahara, and that any bird needs all four simanei tahara to be kosher. Isn't it obvious that all those other 23 birds are not kosher? They don't have all four simanei. So it should be obvious that they're not kosher. Why would the Torah have to go out of its way to identify them? None of them have the four simanei tahara. From the fact that the Torah has to specify all of those minim that have only some of the simanei tahara, you see that the binyanav is learned from a nesher and not from Torim. And that's where Rabbi Chiya says that only an oaf that doesn't have any simanei tahara is not kosher, but having even a simen echad would be enough to make it tahar. Meaning a essentially, the way the Ravid writes in the Tshuva is that the Torah could have just written kol ov tamei lo sochelu, right? It didn't have to identify and list all of these birds. The Ramban, that really answers the kash of the Ramban, because the Ramban says, no, I'll tell you why you have to identify all these birds, because if I would only know from Torim that anything that doesn't have any all four simanei tahara is not kosher, and the Torah would not have identified these birds as something not to eat, then the Isser would only be, it's true, I would know that anything that doesn't have four Simani Torah is not kosher, including all these birds, but the Isser only would have been a lava b'mechal asay. It wouldn't have been a direct los asay. It would have been from, yeah, you can eat Torim, oh, and I could derive from there that anything that doesn't have all the qualities of a Torah is not kosher. But I never would have known that it's a los asay, and there are nafkaminas la'alacha between a lava b'mechal asay versus the los asay, namely diga malkus for it. So maybe that's why the Torah has to identify them. So that's why the Ravid explains, no, what the Gemara is really saying is the Torah didn't have to identify specifically all these things. It could have said one general sentence of any non-kosher bird, don't eat. And how do I define non-kosher bird? Whatever is not like a tar. So that because the Torah identifies all these other 23 birds, it must be that we do not define a non-kosher bird as whatever is not like a tar. We define a kosher bird as whatever is not like a nesher. Whatever has any siman tara is a kosher bird, unless it's one of the 23 exceptions that are on the list in the Torah. So says Gemara, but wait, v'nelef minayhu, why don't we learn from a binyan have from these 20 ofos tameim, the other ofos tameim, that aside from the nesher, and also aside from the paris aznia va'orev, we'll see soon that they're unique also. Mahasam telasav la'achlinon, meaning 20 of the 24 birds have three simanei tara, and only have one siman tumah. 20 out of the 24 have only one of these simanei tumah, have three simanei tara. So why don't I learn from a binyanav as follows? Ma hasam t'lasav la'achlinan, just like these 20 birds have three simanei tara. And nevertheless, even though they have three simanei tara, the Torah says you're not allowed to eat them. Af kol tlasa v'lo nechol. So to every bird that has only three simanei tahara, the halacha is that it should be asur ba'achila. And if a bird that has three simanei tahara are asur ba'achila, kol shekein trei, certainly a bird that has two simanei tahara, only two simanei tahara should be asur ba'achila, v'chad, and kal v'chomer b'mnosh, a bird that has only one simanei tahara should be asur ba'achila. So this is a kasha on Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya said, oh, we learned from a nesher that a nesher has none of the simanei tahara, that it's not kosher, that anything that has any simanei tahara is kosher, except for the 23 exceptions that the Torah lists. No, maybe I should take those exceptions and make a limud out of them. That if there are 20 birds on the non-kosher list in the Torah that have three simanei tara, maybe that should tell me that I don't care how many that I don't care how many simanei tara you have. If you don't have all four, no good. That it's never going to be kosher. That those birds are all prototypes. So says Gemara, no, Im Kain, if you're going to learn from the 20 ofos tameim that have three simanei tara, that even any oaf that has three simanei tara is going to be asur ba'achila, until it has, and it's only going to be mutzur ba'achila if it has all four simanei tara, orev dekasav rachmana lamali. Why does the Torah have to write that an orev is asur ba'achila? An orev is not like the 20 that have three simanei tara, an orev has only two simanei tara. Why would I need the Torah to specify an orev as well? Okay, you tell me nesher and you tell me tor, right? Because the nesher has four simanei tumah, tor has four simanei tara. Good, I understand. That's how I define what the simanim are. I understand that. You're going to give me 20 that have three simanei tara. That's a binyanav from there to tell me until you have all four, it's not going to be kosher. Why then would you have to add to the list a bird that has two simanei tara and two simanei tumah? Once I've already learned from the 20 that have three simanei tara that's not good enough, so isn't it obvious that a bird that has only two simanei tara would not be good enough? So orev dekasav rachmana lamali. Why does the Torah have to identify an orev which has only two simanei tara as something that's not kosher? Hashto di islei t'lasal v'achlinan. If we have a binyanav from the 20 birds that even that have three simanei tara, that you're not allowed to eat them, di islei trei mibayi, a bird that has only two simanei tara, you need a pasuk to tell me that it's also to eat. If the Torah has to write orev, even though it has only two simanei tara, it has to be that our binyanav is incorrect, that we cannot learn a binyanav from the 20 birds that have three simanei tara. And Rabbi Chiya is correct. That how do I define what's a kosher bird? We learn from the nesher that any bird that has any simanei tara is automatically going to be kosher. Now, Tosfos writes that the Gemara could have answered differently. The Gemara could have said that I can't learn from the Ofos Tmeim because it's Tisha Asur Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad. You know, sometimes you have, the Torah wants to teach a Binyanav, so it will say a rule in one place, and when it says in one place, so we assume Divrei Torah are meant to be applied from one place to the other. That's the nature of Binyanav. But we also know that the rule is, whenever the Torah says something in two places, it's the Torah would only identify the same rule in two different places as to be megala, that it's not a rule to be applied elsewhere. Because it wouldn't have had to say it in two places if it was meant to be applied elsewhere. It could have said it in one place, and I would have known to apply it everywhere else. So over here you have Tisha Asur Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad. Obviously, if it's telling me 19 different times that a bird that has three simani tara is not kosher, these are obviously a list of exceptions. It's obviously not meant to be a binyan av. Whenever you have Kama Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad, it doesn't matter if it's two. There is a machlokas where the shnei ksuvim abayim ke'echad is melamdin rei melamdin. But once you hit three, once you have at least three, everyone agrees in melamdin. Three ksuvim, so 19 for sure, right? Three and above, everyone holds that in melamdin. You can't learn a binyanav. So Tos says, okay, but the Gemara has a better answer, that even without that klal, it's not mukhrach to say this, because it would turn out that there's an extra pasuk. So anyway, from the fact that it says orev, that's how I know not to make the binyanav from the 19 birds that have three. So ask the Gemara, why does Rabbi Chiya learn the binyanav from a nesher and he's matir an oaf that has only one siman tara? Why is it that he holds that way? V'leilif mi orev? Why doesn't he use orev as the prototype and say as follows, ma hasam trei lo, af kol trei lo, that just like an orev, even though it has two siman tara, it's not mutar ba'achila? Maybe we should say any bird that has only two siman tara should not be mutar ba'achila. Why is Rabbi Chiya willing to allow a bird that has even a single simitara ba'achila? Maybe orev is what we should make the real limud from. So says Mar Im Kain, because if we're going to learn from an orev that even a bird that has two simanitara cannot be eaten, then we're going to run into trouble with the other two birds we haven't discussed yet. Peres v'oznia dekas rachman alamali. Why does the Torah have to then list that I'm not allowed to eat a peres and oznia? A peres and oznia have only one simitara. So again, going through the list of birds, the Nesher has zero Simane Tara, the Peres Vaznia have one Simane Tara, the Orev has two Simane Tara, and all the other 20 non-kosher birds have three Simane Tara. So if Orev is going to be the prototype, and we're going to learn from Orev that anything that has two Simane Tara is still not kosher ba'achila, so Peres Vaznia, which have only a single Simane Tara, Kavuchomer are not going to be kosher to eat. So the Torah shouldn't have had to identify them. Hashta disle treilo achlinon. If I'm not allowed to eat even an orev that has two simane tara, di isle chad, the peres vaznia, which have only one simane tara, mi bayi, you need to tell me a pasuk that you're not allowed to eat them. So if the Torah has to write peres vaznia being asur b'achila, even though it only has one simane tara, it must be that they are an exception to the rule and that they can't be derived as part of the rule, that they can't be, we can't learn a binyanav from the orev to make a rule that anything that has two simane tara is not kosher. So it must be that Rabbi Chiya is correct, that anything that has any simane tara and is not on the list is going to be a kosher bird. Now Tosfos writes in Dibra Maskel V'Nelef that the Gemara could have answered differently, that you can't learn from an orev because by orev it says limi no, and since the mina orev has two simane tuma, so it's shnei ksuvim abayim ke'echad vein melamdin, meaning limino is another one of the 24. And there's orev, and then there's orev limino. So that itself would make it shnei ksuvim abayim ke'echad that have two simanim. So that's what Tosa suggests, that the Gemara, again, along the same lines of what Tosa said before, that the Gemara could have said shnei ksuvim abayim ke'echad kind of rejection of the limud of the binyanav, but the Gemara had a different rejection anyway that works just as well. So now the Gemara asks, okay, but the Nigmar mi Peres Vaznia. Why don't I learn from Peres Vaznia? They have only one simin tahara and they're asur ba'achila, so I should learn. Anything that has one simin tahara is asur ba'achila. I still need the Torah to tell me about the orev, because an orev has two simane tahara. I still need the Torah to tell me about all the others that have three simane tahara. But why can't I learn from the Peres Vaznia that anything that has one simin tahara is asur ba'achila, and then against Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya thought one simitara is a enough to make it kosher. So why can't I use Peres Vaznia to tell me the opposite? So says Gemara, Im Kain Nesher de Kasav Rachmana Lamali. If we were going to use Peres Vaznia as the prototype to teach me that even a single simentara would make an Asar Achila, why does the Torah have to identify a Nesher as being Asar Achila? A Nesher doesn't have any Simane Tara. So you could learn it from a Kal V'chomer. If a bird like a Peres Vaznia that has only a single simentara, you're not allowed to eat. De Lesle Klal Mibai, a Nesher that has no Simane Tara, you need a Pasuk, tell me you're not allowed to eat it? From the fact that the Torah tells me a Nesher is also Bachila, even though it doesn't have any Simani Tara, it must be that there is no Binyanav to derive from the Peres Va'aznia. Asks Tosfos, but wait a second, there are four Simani Tara that we derive from the fact that it's a Nesher. We only learn, meaning we only know what the Simani Tara are from a Nesher. Maybe the reason the Torah says Nesher is not to teach me a Chiddush that a Nesher is also Bachila. Maybe it's just to teach me the rules of what the Simani Tara are. That's how we started this whole discussion. That two things we know clear. Nesher has zero Simani Tara. A Tor has all the Simani Tara. So now that I could look at the differences between these two birds, I can identify what the Simani Tara are. So that's why it has to mention the Nesher and Torim in order to know what the Simani Tara are. So how could the Gemara ask why we have to write Nesher? Even if I know that a Nesher is Asar Bachila, I still need to write Nesher and Torim explicitly in order to be able to identify the Simani Tara. So Tosfos suggests that we could learn this also if we would have just said Peres Vaznia, because I could have learned the Shloshes, the three Simanim that you find in a Peres that are not in Torim are Simani Tuma, and then I could have learned that the Aznia has an additional Simen that you don't find in a Torah, meaning between the Peres and the Aznia together, they have all four Simani Tuma. So I don't need Nesher to be the prototype to learn what the Simani Tuma are, because between the Peres and the Aznia, I could have identified all four Simani Tuma and distinguished them from a Torah. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That's why the Torah has to say Nesher to teach me Rabbi Chiya's din. Ella Nesher de Lesle Klal Hu de Lo Techul. It's only by a Nesher which has none of the Simani Tara. That's what you're not allowed to eat. But the general rule is, again, if it's not on the list, the general rule is, if a bird has any simentara, echol, you're allowed to eat such a bird. That's the din of Rabbi Chiya, that an oaf comes in front of us, has one simen of tara, you're allowed to eat it unless you're able to identify it as one of the birds in the Torah that is not kosher. So says Gemara, Vel time at the Kasav Rachman and Nesher. The reason I don't learn a binyanav from Peres and Aznia is only because the Torah had to say the word Nesher, right? We were ready to say that we should learn a binyanav from Peres and Aznia, that any time a bird has one simentara, it's not good enough, it's not going to be kosher. Oh, but because the Torah had to say Nesher, that's how I know that that's not a valid binyanav. Halav hachi hava mina leilif. Had it not been for the Torah identifying a Nesher, we were prepared to make a binyanav mi peres vaznia. So says Gemara, why is that even a hava mina? I mean, the Gemara is now not asking on the halacha, we're asking on the hava mina. That here in the Gemara, we were ready to make a binyanav from peres vaznia to tell me that anything that has a single simentara is going to be not kosher. How could we even have had a hava mina to make such a drasha? Have le peres vaznia shnei ksuvin abayim keechad. A peres and vaznia are shnei ksuvin abayim keechad, because v'shnei ksuvin abayim keechad ain melamdin. And generally, the rule is you're not allowed to be melamed a binyanav from shnei ksuvin abayim keechad, meaning they both have only one simon of tuma, and the Torah is telling me that they both have only one simon of tara, and they're not kosher. The Torah tells me that they're not kosher. So if the Torah tells me that in two places, they are the exception. They should not be the rule. Generally, we assume Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Keechad Ein Melamdin. Rashi identifies the reason for it, like we said before, because it should have just written it in one place if it in fact was the rule, and we would have learned from a binyanav if it writes it in one place. The fact that the Torah says in two places is an indicator that these are exceptions and they're not the rule. So says Gemara Gemiri, now the reason we have a havamina to use them as a binyanav is because we have the chacham have a kabbalah that the simentara that you find by the peres the aznia doesn't have, and the simentara you find by the aznia the peres doesn't have. So they don't have the same simentara. So each one, the Torah has to write both of them, and it's not shnei ksuvim aban keechad. So you can learn, and therefore you can learn from them that any oaf that has any simentara is going to be non kosher, and that's why I needed the Torah to say Nesher to tell me that that rule that I would have learned is not true, but I in fact would have learned that rule, meaning had the Torah not written Nesher, we could have used Peres Vazniyah as the basis of a Binyan Av. So now the Gemara asks further that we should still lechara have Shnei Ksuvim Rabban Keachad. Why? Because Michti. Esrim varba ofos tameim havu. There are 24 different birds that are mentioned in the Torah as non-kosher birds, and the Chachamim have a Kabbalah, like we've been saying the whole time, that the large majority of them have three simanei tahara. So the Peres Vazniyah, each of them have one siman tahara. The siman tahara that the Peres has is not the same siman tahara that the Vazniyah has. It's impossible that one of the simanim that the person of Znia doesn't have, that the person of Znia has, shouldn't be in one of the other ofos tmeim. And therefore, it should still be shneksum baban kechad. Because even if the Torah didn't say nesher, it wouldn't have been possible to learn from a binyanav from Paris Vaznia. So again, we're going back to ask on the Havamina. We're saying we had a Havamina that had the Torah not said nesher. I could have used Paris Vazniyah as a binyanav. And we said, oh, no, you can't because it's Shneksuvim Rabban Keachad. He said, no, it's not Shneksuvim Rabban Keachad because the Peres and Vazniyah each have one simantara, but it's a different simantara from the other one. So it's not Shneksuvim Rabban Keachad. Says Gemara, but there are 20 other birds that one of them must have the simantara that either the Peres or the Vazniyah has. Because all those 20 other birds all have three simanei tahara. So between 20 other birds, each having three simanei tahara, at least one of them has the siman tahara of the Peres or the Aznia. So shouldn't that make it like a shnei ksuvin habayin kechad? It's efshar that it doesn't fall out that way. Now when it says efshar, that's obviously lav dafka, because the Gemara is going to answer that it's not true that the chacham have kabbalah that all 20 birds have the same three simanei tahara and they're all missing that same siman tahara that you find only in the Peres or only in the Aznia. So the Gemara's kasha is that it's mistaver, that it seems to defy logic that would be the case. That you have 20 birds that have three simanei tahara, and all of them share the same three simanei tahara. The Gemara is just saying it's efshar, meaning statistically, what are the chances, right? That if you have 20 birds that have three simanei tahara, that they're all going to be the same three simanei tahara. That's what it means by efshar. But efshar over here is clearly lav dafka. So says Gemara, Kemiri, esrim varba ofos tmeim havu. We have a tradition that there are 24 non-kosher birds, va'arba simanim t'lasa hadri b'kulu, and there are four simanim of Tara, three of which apply to the large majority of these birds, kulu esrim mehem, to 20 of these birds. The same three simanei tahara apply to all 20 of those birds. Shlosha, there are each of them have three simanei tahara, but the same ones. Utrei ba'orev, there are two simanei tahara that apply by an orev, and those two that apply by an orev are two of the three that apply by the other 20 birds. Two of those three that the 20 birds have, an orev has, it just doesn't have all three of them. Chad beperes v'chad bazniyah. And then there's one siman tahara that each, the peres and the azniyah have, di'isa baha, lesa baha. The siman that the peres has, the azniyah doesn't have, and the siman that it has is the fourth siman that's not found in the other ofos tmeim. So since that bird is not shnei ksuvim bam kechad, because the siman, the fourth siman tahara, is only found in that one bird, meaning we don't know which one has the siman that's not in any of the other birds, but one of them, only the peres or the osnia, has that one siman that none of the other birds have. But that's enough, because it's one of them that does not have that one that has that one siman that none of the other birds have. It's enough to say it's not going to be shnei ksuvim rabban kechad, because that siman tahara can now be a binyanav, and therefore I would think it makes sense to use that as a limud. So ma'od detema leilif minei. I would think that any bird that has that siman revi'i, we're speaking in code over here because we don't know which siman it is. We're just talking about numbers of simanim. But whatever it is, that siman revi'i, that fourth siman, I should be able to learn from either the Peres or the Yaznia, whichever one of them has that one siman that none of the other non-kosher birds have. I should be able to learn that siman is should aser any bird that has only one simin tara, and therefore kal v'chomer I should learn to asar and nesher, which has no simani tara. Oh, but kasav rachman and nesher, the Torah dafka says nesher, even though I could have learned it from that kal v'chomer, because nesher deles leklal hu delo techol ha'ika desleichad achol, to teach me the din of Rebbe Chiya, that whole cheshbon is incorrect, that we cannot make a binyanav from the peres, from the yaznia, from any of the birds, that it's dafka a nesher, and those that are like a nesher, that absolutely cannot be eaten. So something that has zero simanitara cannot be eaten, but anything that has any simanitara can be eaten. So essentially we're back where we started. Right? Where we started is the din of Rebbe Chiya, and the din of Rebbe Chiya is a bird comes in front of you and it has a simanitara. You just open up your chumash and you look, is this any of the birds that are listed in the chumash, assuming you're able to identify them? That's where it gets tricky, lemaisa, because we can't identify. But if you're able to identify all 23, 24 birds that are in the chumash, and you say, oh, this is none of them, and it has a single simantara, kosher. It's kosher. It's really unbelievable, because what we're saying over here is that the vast majority of birds in the world are really kosher birds. The vast majority of birds in the world we do not eat, right? Because we can't identify exactly what's what. We don't know that it's not. I know there are only 24 on the list, but we don't know what's not on. When it comes to other animals, you just look. Does it chew its cud? Does it have split hooves? So I don't need to know every animal in the world. I just know that if it has the simani tara, that's what makes it kosher. But over here, you have a list of 23 exceptions to the rule. So if you have 23 exceptions to the rule, you never know if what you're looking at is one of the exceptions. And that's why there's we have the importance of a mesora when it comes to birds. So how to identify exactly what's called a mesora, and what's considered the same bird, a bird that's similar enough to another one, that if I have a mesora for that one, that accounts for this one as well. And can a mesora be established if a community just starts eating a type of bird and we don't know whoever told them they're allowed to, but a frum community was doing it for a long, long time? Does that establish a new mesora? So this is where it gets very tricky. And there are these far-flung communities, Jewish communities in like Africa or whatever, where they have these mesoras of unusual birds. So there are guys that go around the world trying to find mesoras. There's a fellow who works for the OU, Rabbi Chaim Loiki, who's an expert in strange birds. I went to high school with him, and Karen Biavn with him, and YU with him, and he's exactly that type of guy, to be interested in like this kind of thing. And he found like every, he found a whole bunch of things. I think Rabbi Zivotofsky also found a whole bunch of different birds to try to trace down the mesora of different birds, because this is the complexity of it. This is where it comes from. So now, Frekli Gemara, once we come to the maskana that we learn a binyanav from the nesher, that only an oaf that has no simani tara at all is considered to be tameh, el torin de kasav rachmana lamali. Why does the Torah have to tell me that torim are mutar b'achila? You can't learn a binyanav to be matir dafka, the arba simanim, to be matir themselves. You don't need a pasuk, because even an oaf that has only one simon is mutar. So a Torah that has all four simanim, obviously it's going to be mutar. So why would the Torah have to identify a Torah as a kosher bird? Now, if you remember, we mentioned before the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Did the Torah actually ever identify as a Torah as a kosher bird? Rashi understood the Torah never really did. It just said you could bring a Torah as a korban. So we know the rules, that if you can bring it as a korban, then it's kosher. Tosfos learned, and based on this line of the Gemara, Tosfos learned that, no, the Torah must have, at least in one place, gone out of its way to mention Torah where it didn't have to, dafka to teach me that it's mutar b'achila. So we're asking, if that's the case, why did the Torah have to do that? So answer is, the Torah writes Torah to tell me that only Torah and Bnei Yonah are kosher for a karban. But you cannot learn from Torah and Bnei Yonah which birds are kosher l'achila and which birds are not kosher l'achila. Now, the fact that the Braisa says at the beginning of the sugya that we learn from Torah that an oaf that's similar to a Torah in the four simanei Torah is mutzal l'achila, it doesn't mean that the Torah darshins a binyanav from Torah that you need all four simanim, because from the Nesher we learn the binyanav that you don't need all four simanim, right? That you only need one simon in order for it to be mutar b'achila. So you have to say that the Braisa mentions Torah only to give the simon of what is a simon tara, that they are the, you need to identify the simani tara. This is what Rashi points out, to identify the simani tara. What is the difference between the nesher and the tar? So that's the, so essentially the entire daf, just one sentence really. Rabbi Chiya tells me a bird comes in front of you, it has one simon tara, and it's not on the list of the 24 birds in the Torah that are not kosher, it's kosher, you're allowed to accept it. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amrav Nachman.